Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Your life is like the mist that's on the top of the lake for a time, and the sun comes out and it's gone.
That was Pastor Joe Henson, an associate pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today on the program, we're continuing to work through the book of James as Pastor Joe Henson shares with us a message called Mistakes in Planning Ahead, based on James chapter 4. We'll see how difference makers are marked by future planning by faith.
You realize that sometimes we make a mistake in how we plan? We're going to look at three mistakes that we commonly make in planning. James chapter 4 really centers on the idea of how we use our time, what we do with it, how we do our planning. And in the Word of God, God gives to us instructions in how we can plan our future successfully. So when we plan His way, we're good. When we plan our way, we're going to have some problems here. In fact, James tells us of mistakes that people make commonly when they are making their plans. The first mistake that we often make in planning is making your plans, but without God's input. We see that very clearly here. Look at verse 13 of James chapter 4. James says, "Go to now, you guys that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Now they're making plans. And by the way, let me add this. It is not wrong to plan. We have to understand that. Here in our text, we see people that have planned. And they've made pretty extensive business plans, wouldn't you say? And they had their plan all figured out. The only thing they forgot is the who. Because nothing here in their plan says anything about God or what God wants. Folks, planning is not wrong. In fact, the Bible has much to say about planning ahead. It is right to plan, but it's wrong if I make my plans and don't consider what God has. It's right to set goals, but it's wrong for me to set goals without God in mind. Understand, we need to make our plans, but we need to make our plans with God in mind. Look at verse 15 with me. See what he says? "For that ye ought to say," what? "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Note the "if" there. If you've never marked your Bible, put a circle around that word "if." That's a big little word right there. James is teaching us that instead of saying, "I'm going to do this and that and make this much money here and there," we ought to be saying this: "If God wills it for my life and provides the opportunity, I will." Now, someone has said this: planning without prayer is presumption. All of our planning has got to start with "if the Lord wills." In other words, we're planning, get this now, with the contingency of God's approval. My attitude needs to be, whatever God wants for my life, that's what I want. God, your will comes before my will. And I need to be making my plans that way. It's interesting the way the writer of Hebrews stated it. He said it this way in chapter 6. "And this we will do if God will, if God permit." You know, for centuries, the Christian church did some things that I think are very, very good that somehow throughout history we've dropped and stopped doing. One of the things that the church did often was at the end of letters written back and forth to people, to friends, to family, to churches, to whomever, they would write the initials D.V. And the people receiving the letter would understand what they're talking about. And when they would send a letter back, they would put the initials D.V. on their letter back. And what that is, it's the initials for two little Latin words, Deo volente. And literally it means this: God willing. In other words, all of this stuff that I've written to you in this letter is true. If the Lord wants it to happen, it'll happen. God willing. Hey, folks, you know what? We could use something like that, couldn't we? "We will do this, Lord willing." Now, if you do that, don't let it be a trite, flippant statement. Because there's no merit to that. If you do it, you say it, God, I want you to have charge of my plans. And so, DV, Deo Volente, Lord, according to your will, be this done. This is what we will do, according to what you want. One writer that I was reading said there's three possible responses to the will of God, according to what we see in the passage here. The first one is simply this: I can make reference to it. And that's exactly what we see in the passage here. That's what he's saying. I admit that God has a will, I accept it, I acknowledge it, and I make reference to that will. That's one thing we can do with it. A second idea is this: I can show deference to the will of God. By that, I really want God's will, and I accept His will into my life. So I can either have reference to it, I can make deference to it, or thirdly, I can show preference for it. And really, I think that's where we all need to be. If I make preference for the will of God, then more than anything else, I want God's will in my life. What God wants, that's my plan. I deeply desire that. And that's exactly what James is trying to help us to understand here. We want God's will, not just to go do whatever we want to do. So as you plan ahead, what do you need to do? You need to ask God for His help. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 says this: the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You've heard pastors say many times, man proposes, God disposes. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Lord, you help me to be wise in the plans I make, but you guide me, you direct my steps. I'll make my plans, but I'm going to count on God to direct me as I make my plans. One writer said it this way: our life is uncertain, our path is unclear, yet we have no cause to falter in fear. If plans that we make, our dreams to fulfill, are born out of the love for God and His will. You don't have to be afraid of plans that agree with God's will. What a blessing that is. Someone has said this: write your plans in pencil and then give God the eraser. Say, okay, God, what is it that you want or don't want here? The first mistake is an easy one to make, but you can overcome it and you can grow by including God in your plans. Let's start including God in our plans. What's the second mistake that is made often? The second mistake is making your plans, but presuming on tomorrow. Presuming on tomorrow. What does it mean to presume on tomorrow? Really, it's a simple idea. It's to take tomorrow for granted. It's thinking you're going to live here forever. It's thinking, I've got the rest of my life to do this. That's presuming on tomorrow. Here's what James says. Look at verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Look down at verse 16. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Folks, James gives us at least two reasons why we should not presume on tomorrow. There's two reasons here, and the reasons to me are very, very clear. The first is simply this. He says that life is unpredictable. Life is unpredictable. What does he say? He says, ye know not. You don't know what's coming. It's unpredictable. Again, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Because of the unpredictability of life, David said this: Lord, teach me to number my days. We go around counting our years. David says, no, no, no. Lord, every day is important. And you teach me to number my days, because every day counts. Every day needs to matter. Teach us to number our days, Lord. David also said, but truly as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. He had that in his head. He is one step away from eternity all the time. One step away from eternity. And folks, we have to understand that's what the Word of God teaches. We are all one step away from eternity. The only time that you have is now. That's all. Today. Do you remember the old chant the little girls used to say when they jumped rope? Doctor, doctor, will I die? Remember the answer? Yes, my child, and so shall I. How true. We don't look at life that way, but folks, it's true. The only moment you can be guaranteed of is this moment right now. That's all you've got. That's all you can be sure of. The rest is simply presumption. The first reason, he says, not to presume on tomorrow is you don't know. Second, he says this, that your life is exceedingly brief. Did you see it in verse 14? He said it's even a vapor. The Greek word here is interesting. It's the word atmos. Can you think of an English word that we get from that? Yeah, atmosphere. Atmosphere. He's simply saying this, your life is like the mist that's on the top of the lake for a time, and the sun comes out and it's gone. It's like the steam that comes out of the kettle, and it goes out and it's gone. It's no more. You can't get it back. He says your life is just the mist. The Bible uses many word pictures when it talks about the brevity of life. Let me share those with you. Job had several thoughts about this. He said in chapter 7, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. I don't know if you've ever watched somebody weave on a loom, but the shuttle that goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth is very fast. And he said, that's how fast your life is. A trip across the loom and it's over with. He gave in another place, chapter 7, oh, remember that my life is wind. It's gone as the wind goes. Chapter 8, David said, because our days upon the earth are as a shadow. Did you ever try to keep up the shadow that the sun casts on things and watch it change? He said, that's what your life is like. It moves and it's over and it's done. In Job chapter 9, Job says, my days are swifter than a post. Now, I had to think about that for just a minute because I think of a post as something standing in the ground. But that's not what it means. It's swifter than a courier. The courier takes your message, and he's gone. That's what your life is like. He's here, he's gone, it's delivered. Job also said that it's passed away like swift ships. He says it's like the eagle that hasteth to the prey. That's what your life is like. The Chaldeans had a saying, they said, my days are swifter than the shadow of a flying bird. So swiftly do they flee away that I cannot discern them, and when they pass, they cannot be recalled. Gone. I saw the shadow, but it's gone. David said in Psalm 39, verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. As far as you can stretch your hand, that's how long your life is. That's it. How foolish it is, folks, for us to plan our lives without consulting the eternal God. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows how much time we have. And for us to make plans without consulting Him, what a travesty.
Thank you for listening to today's message with Pastor Joe Henson, our special guest on today's edition of Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.